Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us again on the podcast. I am super excited to have my guest today, Carrie Ginsburg. Carrie, how are you?
I'm so happy to be talking to you. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. You know, it's so fun when I have a guest on like you because we are friends.
We are.
We know each other. We have talked multiple times. Yeah. And so, like we said before we hit record, we're going to have to wrangle this one in because I feel like the conversation could just go on and on. And yes. So we'll try to be as concise and informative and direct as we can. So good luck with that.
I understand the assignment.
So Carrie, tell us, for the listeners who don't know, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, hi, everybody. My name is Carrie Ginsburg. I'm an executive coach and consultant. I like to refer to myself as an executive coach and co-conspirator. And my company is called Uproar Coaching. I'm just outside of Washington, D.C. And the thing is, I like to tell people that because oftentimes my intro feels very businessy, and that's just based on D.C. culture and where I have come up. But I support non-traditional women and femme leaders. I call them glitter bombs as they want to catapult from lonely to legendary. And that's where we spend our time together. To do a little humble bragging, in 2024 and 2025, I was recognized as one of the top executive coaches in DC. And in 2025, several of my clients independently nominated me as a top executive coach in America. And I am really, really, really humbled by both of all of that recognition. It's amazing. And I think the last thing that I'm still getting better about saying is that in 2025, I published my first book, and in its first week, it topped the chart number 7 on new releases for self-help and growth. So
amazing. I am so excited. I've been watching your journey, cheering you along, and we'll definitely get into the book. But first, I want to go back to what you said and how you describe yourself as helping ambitious misfits catapult from lonely to legendary.
Yes.
Right. So where did that phrase come from? And how does that connect to your own visibility journey?
Starting out with the hard questions. Where did that phrase come from? It actually came from a lot of conversations that I was having with clients, but also with colleagues and peers that I had when I was working in a more corporate setting, and just thinking about how when we get to a certain level, either of leadership or of professional accomplishment, there's a sense that we just know. We know how to solve all the problems. We know how to do what's next. We know. When in fact, sometimes we really, really don't know. And therefore, we don't know where to go for support or mentorship or development or coaching. And it feels like maybe it signals weakness if we reach out for help or we do the brave thing and express we don't know. And that can be very isolating. That can be very lonely. And I want to make sure that any leader, but particularly women and femme leaders, understand that while they might feel lonely in that moment, they are certainly not alone. There's a lot of people and resources out there ready to support them as they reach up and reach out for whatever is next that is uniquely and dynamically theirs. But also the things that make them feel lonely or the things that make them feel different or outliers or misfits or outcasts or rock stars or mermaids or bog winches or however they describe themselves. Those are the things that actually create a legacy. Those are the things that make them legendary. And instead of hiding them as we are on our no journey, we need to turn it really up. We need to lean so far into it that maybe would make some people around us uncomfortable, because that's where the glitter is. That's where the sticky point is. And being all of ourselves is what inspires people behind us to also feel brave enough and comfortable to be themselves too. That's legendary status. That's legacy right there.
That's amazing. I feel like there's so many women specifically who hide behind uniqueness or some like they're quirks, right? Like they think that they're quirky or whatever it is, when in fact that's their superpower, right?
Yeah.
Some of those things that they hide or they shame themselves
for, like,
being
apologize some, for.
Apologize. Yeah. That's where the superpower comes from. And when you're truly authentically yourself, that's when you attract the people who you're meant to be working with, instead of, you know, playing small or pretending to be someone you're not. You attract the wrong people, then you feel misaligned. You feel, you know, just like yucky and not happy, and like things just don't work out. But when you lean into that true, authentic self, who you are, whatever it might be, that's when the beauty comes to play.
Yes. And people around you know. They might not be able to, like, put their finger on what it is, but there is a sense of distancing or a sense of, like, they're holding back, or they're not being totally honest or truthful with me. And that then makes for more awkward or more exhausting conversation. I mean, I spent a lot of time working in environments where I felt like I couldn't be myself. And I put on what I called, like, my business carry look every day. And it was like my armor going into the workplace. And I definitely masked or adapted, if I'm being, like, very generous with myself, who I truly was, because I felt like that was the way that I was going to fit in and excel in my career. And it wasn't until I had an illness in 2022 that kept me home for many, many weeks as I recovered. And as I came through on the other side of that, I was like, you know what? It is too hard right now to go through the day just in this body while they're trying to put all of these other exterior should, and I put should in air quote, expectations on myself, right?
Right.
So what if I just, when I go back to work, am who I am?
Mm-hmm.
What if I just let a little bit more of me out every day? And I did that. And what I found was that it got easier to get through the day.
Yeah.
It got easier to accomplish things. And people who felt previously like they could throw up easy roadblocks, easy from their point of view, because I would just sort of like, oh yeah, no, you're right, like back off from them. They got way out of the way because they had no idea what to do in response to this, like, new me that I was showing up with. But I definitely, I mean, I look, when I first started my business, I had a slightly different logo. And it was spread out, get loud, and be a boss bitch. And when I came back from that illness, I was spreading out more, I was getting louder, and I was letting go of the boss bitch energy that lived inside of me that I kept bottled up, that was like, it was drawing me down at the end of the day because I had no place to go. And when all of those things happened, I wasn't rude. I was still professional. I was just happier to do things my way. And it worked out. And other people came to ask me how I did it because they saw it working out and they wanted that for themselves too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's so many different directions I can go with this.
Sure.
So one question I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Why is it, and you may not have the answer, but I'd love your perspective on it. Why is it that women struggle with this so much, but it seems, at least, that men don't technically have these challenges? They can show up who they are unapologetically and just be who they are, where women, we tend to put on this, like you said, suit or this armor to try and fit in to match the environment that we're in. Why is that?
I mean, the short answer, and I'm not trying to be flip, is like the patriarchy, right? Like the modern workplace was never created to be a safe place for women to work. And it certainly was never developed as a safe place for trans women or women of color to work and be successful. And so I think that's one of the reasons why women are very, very adaptive. And we know as a gender what we need to do in order to survive and thrive in spaces where we are and have been historically denied. And so I think, in my opinion, that's part of the reason why the work environment has always been open to men. And so they are just comfortable there being whatever dude they are. And we have to work a little bit harder to not only be, or to maybe not even be welcomed into that space, but to be begrudgingly accepted in that space. I mean, think about how many companies you have supported across your career, where when you look around leadership tables, there's one woman. Like, it is always the minority. And so that costume, that suit, that armor helps you blend in to sort of the old boys club of it all.
And I feel like more often now, we are seeing women exiting corporate and starting their own business. And I feel like that shift has a lot to do with what we just talked about, right? They can now make their own rules. They can now lead in a way that is authentic to them and lead with purpose and value and culture and all of those things, where when they're fit into this tiny little box, they have to just confide or can work within the confines of their space. Yeah. And so I love, and I feel like this trend of entrepreneurship is like an empowerment of women in a way, because we can now create our own businesses and make the impact that we want in the space that we want.
Yeah. I love that women are taking opportunities for themselves to create the environment that they want to be in and that they want other people to work in. It makes me a little bit sad that modern workspace hasn't evolved to a place where women feel comfortable or welcome, or like they have the ability to change the culture so that it is a more safer, welcoming space for them. And it also makes me a little bit nervous. I mean, this statistic is probably 5 years out of date at this point. But in like 2015, 2016, Harvard Business Review put out an article and it said something like 53% of women who create their own businesses fold within the first 3 years. And that's because the funding's not there. The grants aren't there. Their social or community structure is not there to sort of support them having this job that takes a different amount of time, energy, feeding, care than like a more traditional corporate entity. And then even from like the 3 to 5 year mark, I think another 33% drop off. And that's really sad. And so I love this like influx of women-owned business. I think that this is really how we make change and sort of like disrupt old industry.
Yeah.
But we need to figure out how we support each other to stick with it.
Yeah.
I've been in business now for 5 years full-time. Upwork has lived since June 2020. And I'm very, very proud of that. But there were some really specific times along the way where I thought like, this is the last month.
Yep.
And then something would happen, or a business bestie would come through with like that one thing I needed to hear, or that one client referral, or that one, have you thought of, got me to the next month. And I wonder how we can all do that for each other in a way that is sustaining to all of us. So that way there isn't that 50% and then that additional 33% drop off. And like I said, those statistics might be old. I might have my numbers really bad, but
I hear you. And I think one of the things that you mentioned that I think is almost like the necessity that we need to also build in is that community that you talked about, like the biz bestie, right? Like us, we need women supporting women and men supporting women.
Yes.
And we need consistency in that, right? Like, so we don't have to go through those ebbs and flows where we're like, okay, maybe I can't sustain this business on my own. Like, why can't we have this consistent business, you know, flow and not have to worry about where my next revenue is coming from in the next 3 to 6 months.
Yes. So. And how can we also feel like we don't have to be in competition, in like brutal competition with each other,
seriously,
in order to sustain and be consistent?
Yeah.
Because there is enough for everybody.
Totally. I think that's one of the misconceptions is, you know, holding on to these things when it's like, gosh, there's abundance out there. We need to think about business in an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset.
Agree.
Yeah. Okay. We just went off a tangent. Sorry.
Tangent.
Okay, so let's talk about your coaching.
Yeah.
So how would you say your coaching differs from the other coaches that are out there? What makes you so unique?
Well, I mean, other than the fact that I wear purple lipstick and I have pink hair.
That's a good one.
it's pretty differentiating. So I have invested a lot in my coaching education and certification. And I do that because I feel like when someone is coming to you from a, because reaching out for support is vulnerable, whether you feel like you are being brave or not, it is, you were letting somebody in at a squishy time. And I invested in that education and certification because I wanted to demonstrate in a really profound way to people who are coming to me for coaching support that I'm not going to wing it, that I have education and training to support them and to be prepared for whatever they bring in the door. But that also means knowing that I have the education and training and credibility there and being able to sort of set it to the side and then be present and meet my clients truly where they are. And I know that there are a lot of coaches who will say, like, I meet you where you are. If you're coming in pajamas and sobbing, like, let's sit in that emotion together. And I will thank you profoundly and profusely for trusting me with your tears and your emotion in that moment. If we are celebrating something, let's have a dance party. If we are feeling frustrated, let us rail and then let us figure out how to get through the frustration to get to action, to get you feeling more like you're in control again. And that means that we understand really dynamically what your coaching request is. But then every time we meet for our coaching conversation, I'm not going to judge you for what you're bringing in the door. If you have a topic that's hot on your mind, I want to hear it. And I want to be in conversation with you because you are running these conversations, not me. Mm-hmm. And then it is my privilege to tie that back to the broader conversation or the broader coaching request that you've brought in to see if there are themes. I'm prattling a lot to say, where there are coaches who have a very rigid structure to their conversations, I am willing to truly be in discussion with you. Yeah, I'm going to ask the big questions. Yeah, you might have some thought exercise you walk away with. My clients all know that means homework. I still call it thought exercise because I'm just trying to kid myself. But you will never feel like you are walking out on a plank by yourself and I'm just standing on land waving at you. I am side by side with you on that plank. And we are going to like jump or sink together. We are it together. It is a partnership.
I love that you just said that right there, walking side by side. And this is a partnership because I think that right there makes it so unique and dynamic because a lot of times, from what I've heard people talk about coaches and they come, they feel ashamed and like afraid to speak up or to really talk about the challenges that they're having. But when you come to a space like what you're describing, it's not a finger pointing or, never, you know, shoulds or whatever those things.
Oh.
It's like girl or boy, whatever.
One of the things that I've heard from clients, even since the beginning, is within the first few minutes of our conversation, they feel comfortable because they feel like they know me.
I love that.
I love that for them. I love that they just feel comfortable to be able to be who they are, all of them, right? Like, let's be weird. Let's be scared. Let's be confused. Let's be strong. Let's be all of it because
be all the things.
That's what makes us who we are. I think that's just, it is such a privilege to do this every day. Mm. And I do not take that for granted. I really, really don't.
Mm. I love it because you can feel the passion that you have about what you do. And that's really what makes you so unique too, is that you love what you do and that's what makes you great at it. And that's why people come to you. And that's why I love you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, you are very much a person who loves what you do too. I mean, it is such a contagious feeling when you see someone who's like super passionate about what you do. Cause you're like, who's that person and how, like, what are they up to? Let's be friends. Let's do it. Let's figure it out. Yeah.
His bestie.
Absolutely. There it is. There she is.
Okay, girl, let's talk about your book. So what inspired you to write your book? Tell us the name. Ooh. Tell us the inspiration.
Okay.
Give us the goods.
My book is called Hey Glitter Bomb. If you're watching this video, it's like right up here on my shelf. And it is a no BS guide to being too much, taking up space, and loving the legacy that you create. And I wrote a book because I want to speak more. That was the number one reason that I wrote a book. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. I also wrote a book because I wanted to increase my reach and my visibility beyond people who are just coming to me for one-on-one or team coaching. I wanted to see if the things that we are working on individually in partnership with each other could translate into something that somebody could pick up and walk around with on their own. And it is a super weird experience, by the way. It is a very weird feeling knowing that like something has lived inside of me and now it lives up on this shelf over my head. Like I have dogs, I don't have kids, but this is, I think, the closest I'm ever gonna get. I mean, I did give birth to my dogs, but like this is the closest I think I'm ever gonna feel to like having birthed something into the world. I am really, really proud of this book. But circling back to number one, in early 2023, I was in conversations with a couple of big companies about coming in to do talks at their company, like their big company meeting or an associated conference or summit that they were having. Yeah. And I got pretty far in the process with both of them. And I sent in my basically like my invoice to them in advance, right? Like this would be the payment. This is the breakdown. Yeah. This would be travel, all of those things. And company A reached back to me by phone. It was lovely. And the woman I was talking with, she was like, this looks great. This all looks great. This is exactly what we were expecting, except your book's not here. You didn't include a book line. And I said, oh, I don't have a book. And she goes, oh, we thought you had a book. And I was like, no, I have a blog. And she goes, yeah. All right. Well, could you get back to us when you have a book? Sure. And then I was like, you know what, maybe something changed and they were just looking for a reason to like say no. And that felt like a way to not hurt feeling. Oh, okay, fine. I'll keep it in mind and I'll try again later.
Yeah.
And then I had a similar conversation 3 weeks later with another company. We really like our speakers to have books. We like for our staff or team to be able to like walk away with a thing and know that like, cause they just feel like they're getting something more out of the conversation. I was like, oh, interesting. Okay, I guess I'm writing a book. Yeah. And so
you start printing out your blog and stapling it together, right?
It's so funny. It's really, really funny that you say that, because in July of that year, so 2023, I sat down with all of the things that I had ever written, all of my blog posts, all of the workshops that I have written, all of the speeches that I've given, all of everything, articles on LinkedIn, whatever. And I printed it off. I wish I still had it here on the shelf, but I just put everything that was like book drafty up in the attic. I printed it off and it was like 400 pages. And I was like, all right, there is a book in here.
There's somewhere.
And so I started going through and pulling out like themes, and that became the early outline of my book. Like I picked the 12 topics that I found that I was talking about and I was excited to talk about again and again and again and again. And then I thought about those topics in relationship to the shape of the coaching conversations that I have, the very like light methodology, the way that I talk about some things in coaching. And I looked at how I could sort of shape the journey in that book along those topics and along that methodology as well.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, I love your book. I obviously have a copy.
It's right there.
There
it is.
And so I love that it's like, I think you've put this in like the description or something, like not your typical self-help book, right? Something
it's
along those lines.
Pep talk either, yeah.
And it's cool because it's got like the interactive feel to it, right? Where it's like, okay, here's a prompt. Let's write this out. Let's work through this. But then what is really unique that I love about it, and you have to, everyone listening, get a copy.
You have to get the print version because of this. I think, well, go ahead. I think
I love the little like lines.
My marginalia. Yes. Yes. And that's my handwriting.
I love that. It's so cool because I've never seen that before. Like it's like on one of like the first pages, like, yeah, we cuss here kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like so cool because it brings in your personality and it makes it unique. And so it's like, I'm like looking like through it, like, oh, what'd she say there? Like, you know what I mean?
Thank you. I'm so glad you like that because I'm very excited about that. I'd never seen it in a book either. I feel like it adds a lot of charm to the print version. You don't really get that same experience in the digital version. Everybody, sorry about that. But I have found through the years, I mean, we all have a bookshelf of self-help and leadership and whatever books, right? And I always, it's right there behind you, right? Mine's my life. And I always I highlight or I write a note in the margin or something. I always put in marginalia. And as I was writing this and I was like, you know, this asks people to reach deep and be very honest with themselves, sometimes in very scary ways. Mm-hmm. And if you were looking to unlock something for yourself and you were just DIYing it, I know because I have seen it and I've heard it from clients over the years, there gets to a certain point where you fall off. You think you can't do it. You think you can't do it on your own, or you just sort of lose the momentum.
Yeah.
And my intent in including that marginalia is to remind you that even though you are sitting and reading this book by yourself, you are not by yourself. I am with you every step of the way in there, and you see it in my handwriting too.
That's so cool. I love it. And like I said, I look through the pages just to kind of see what you said.
Yep, it's there.
I'm like, wait, what is she saying there? Oh, yeah, I can relate with that. I love that. That's so amazing. Yeah. I love that you just, that's so cool.
Thanks.
So cool.
Yeah, it took me a minute too to find a print designer who really
got it.
What I was going for and who was like, yeah, let's try, right? I talked to a couple of people beforehand who were like, I don't know that that's going to fly. I've never seen it before. I'm just not sure. And I was like, that's great. You're not my person. Thank you for your time.
Exactly. Yeah. You're an outlier, girl.
Probably.
Okay. So you talk about the book and obviously since the podcast is about visibility, that there is your visibility tool, right? Yes. If you will. Yeah. And what I love for me, podcasting is my visibility tool.
I love that.
Two of my favorite visibility tools are those two, right? Books and podcasting. And the reason I love these two mediums is because of the time and commitment that it takes for somebody to invest in them. Because anyone can scroll through social media and look at a social post. It's going to sit in their feed for 30 seconds, if not less, and then pass by. But when you have a book, they take time out of their personal time to sit down and spend that time with you and your thoughts and your advice. And they really invest in the words that you write. Mm. Similarly to podcasting, they have to invest 20, 30 minutes to sit and listen or walk and listen, whatever it might be, to what you're saying. And so those visibility tools are so dynamic, and I think they're going to become more and more dynamic as we move forward in this AI technology, fast moving environment that we're in, because it's so authentic, so true, and so much more invested. The people have to spend time and take time.
There's also an intimacy thing there.
Absolutely.
Both of those visibility tools, right? Because when I think of where I listen to podcasts, I do it when I'm cooking, when I'm folding clothes, sort of like I'm nesting in my space, right?
Yeah.
And I listen to business things and I listen to true crime. Like it is the weird end of the spectrum. But I'm letting you into cozy time in my personal space.
Yeah.
I read at my desk, I read in bed, I read on the couch, right? Those are intimate spaces as well that you were letting a virtual stranger into. I completely agree with you.
I love that. All right. Well, we've gone in so many directions. I love it all.
Me too.
But let's keep talking.
I know we have to end.
Bummer. Okay. So let me have you give one piece of advice. So maybe wrap up everything we've said in a nice little bow. Or a glitter bomb, or whatever it might be, a confetti cannon, whatever you want to do. Yeah. Give some piece of advice to the female listeners who are listening to this today.
Well, hey, glitter bombs. I just want to remind you that sometimes when you think that maybe you're too much for the environment that you're in, and you're trying to do a little bit something different, sometimes the place that you're at doesn't actually deserve all of you. And that doesn't mean you need to leave that space to find a space that is welcoming or that is deserving of all of you. But I think it just means that you get to have different boundaries with them. So while I do invite people to always bring all of themselves proudly, there is also strength in knowing that these people aren't necessarily worth it. And that's okay. I mean, it's their loss.
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, that's what I'd say.
Yeah. I think that's truly inspiring and heartfelt. And I just, I'm so grateful that I had this opportunity to chat with you, spend time with you, share this conversation with the listeners who are listening today and watching along. How can people get in touch with you? Where can they get in your space?
I'm on LinkedIn a lot. So many of us are. So you're welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn. You're also welcome to join me through my mailing list. I have a weekly email newsletter called Ricochet, where I bring a lot of me, but I also talk about how to avoid the evil trifecta of perfectionism, burnout, and imposter syndrome.
Love that.
Hot takes in. You're always welcome to email me at hello@uproarcoaching.com.
And make sure you get the book.
And make sure you get my book.
Don't forget.
Thank you. I couldn't possibly forget. Well, and I think that we have a little discount for your listeners if they want to go ahead and get that book too. They can find that in the show notes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely put that in there. Well, thank you so much, Carrie.
I adore you. Be well. All right.